Hi, this is Hilda, your Hilda. Hilda is a podcaster and a storyteller. And I'm actually on my bed. I'm sure you can tell from how husky my voice is. And there's this topic that has just been floating around somewhere in my mind, and I want to share my thoughts with you about it. The topic for today is possession. I had actually done another podcast which I haven't shared, but it was a bit noisy, so I decided not to share that one. And somehow I just feel that the topic would be justice would be served if I change the title and tweak it a bit. So the title is possession. Possession in a relationship. Many times, let me start by saying, have you ever been in a situation where you saw somebody or have been seeing somebody from afar off, you like them, maybe they have that sanguine personality, bubbly personality, they walk into a room and after a few minutes everybody knows their name or they're quite friendly, and maybe you see this person every day, maybe at your workplace or your business or something, and you want them, you know, you don't even know why you want them, but you just want them. And if circumstances present this person to you, you want them for yourself, you know. And I'm sure everybody has been in that kind of a situation. I think that's exactly the circumstance I want to talk about that's predicated this topic. We like to own things and we like to own people. And to an extent, we like to control them. When I'm talking about control, I'm talking about control in the sense of you owning something. Like if you recently bought yourself a pair of shoes, you know, new shoes are always treated very well. The minute the new shoes come, the old shoes are not treated half as well. You know, there's a way you protect your new shoes. If it came in a box, you probably take it home in a box, and you probably leave it on your shoe shelf in the box, you know, until your first wear, official wear, outside of your home. And I think in a sense, that is the way we would like to have our partners or our spouses in our lives. We want them to be, even if we met them completely different personality, after we domesticate them, or after the relationship is domesticated, in the sense that, okay, if we are dating or we get married, the relationship is domesticated because we're now taking off from the same lunch pad. I'm now usually at your place, or you're usually in my place, but now we are, you know what I mean, we are together, air quotes. And so when we are together, there's this tendency for us to want the other person to be, if we are the melancholy conservative type, we have a tendency to want the other person to be more, to be homelier, to stay at home more than they used to. Even if we met them being different, you know, we want to control that part of them, and we want them to suddenly change, to conform to what it is that feels good. We want them to become a possession. Again, it's human nature to want something to make you happy the way you want to be made happy. But in doing so, and I think for me, this is where we have a lot of issues with relationships and marriages. There is so much premium placed on the relationship of dating or marriage, and there's premium on our individual personalities and what goes with individual personalities. I remember when I was quite young, my mom used to say repetitively that when I grow up, I should never marry a traveling man. You know, everybody knows what happens with traveling men. And it is not a rule, but it is common with traveling men, and maybe men that work in the armed forces that move from one point to the other. Well, you get my drift. I don't want to delve into that so much. But there are some things that come with a certain personality type. And until we learn to embrace those things and not try to stifle them and not try to metaphorically perform surgery on your partner to be what you want, that quiet man that loves to watch TV and football and the type that just comes home straight from work and doesn't have too many friends. And even if he has too many friends, you, the woman, make sure that you make your home quite uncomfortable for his friends so that they will stop coming and you can have him to yourself. The thing again is, if you have him to yourself, at a point, you both get bored of each other. And that's something else that happens a lot in marriages. Okay, when you've done everything you can do, you've been out, you've discovered each other, you've shared a lot of things intimately, the question then is, what next? You can't possess someone the way you can possess a pair of shoes or any other inanimate object. For God's sake, you can't even possess a dog, not to talk less of a human being, because sometimes I have a dog. Sometimes you may call out to your dog and your dog is just in a mood and the dog decides not to respond. So if we understand that you cannot own a person's behavior either. You cannot own their personality. We may do some work in trying to make the person better, perhaps with some mundane things. Oh, don't you think it would be better if you stop putting this there and put it there? Or what about I suggest you do this and that about your business? I noticed this and that. Or don't you think this? Maybe in those kind of areas, advice and a little nudge and help. Maybe if you're with somebody who is a bit lazy or too laid back, you know, then we'll then understand that you want the best to come out of this person. There was a video I watched on Instagram where a Buddhist monk who happened to even be a woman, she said she was talking about love, and I think that's one of the best definitions of love I have ever heard. And I can't remember the definition verbatim, but I will try. She said that loving somebody involves helping them to be the best that they can be without stifling them. And even if the love, loving them being happy does not involve you, it does not involve them loving you, you still love them still. It's so profound that the definition makes love out to be something sacrificial, that you want the best for this person and you're willing to sacrifice your wanting or your possession of them on the altar of love if it will bring out the best in the other person. And if we look at it in that sense, I think it's a way of detaching too from somebody, because a lot of the problems we have romantically is because of attachment. We are so attached to this person that we want them to be like one of our toys, and we want them to love us in the way that we want to be loved. But they may not necessarily be favorably disposed to that. They may pretend that they are loving us the way we say we want to be loved, or they may not. It may not be heartfelt. So if you communicating the way you want to be loved, either expressly or by implication, it does not guarantee that you will get what you want. I don't know if that makes any sense. So the direction I believe we should go to is to let things hang loose and not putting all our heart and all our minds into this person conforming or this person becoming ours. Because if you think about it deeply, our mothers birthed us, we came into the world alone, and when it is time for us to go, we will go alone. So even being attached to somebody emotionally and in whatever way is just temporary. We should actually work on how we feel about ourselves and not worry too much about pinning the other person down. Just let them fly. You can't hold anyone down, really. Even if you try to do so, you'll find that it's not a guarantee to keeping the person in conformity with what you want. So that's my two bits for today. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope it made some level of sense. And if you have a comment to make, you can reach out to me here on the platform, or you can send me an email. The email address is hildashoulderforyou@gmail.com, and it's spelled as HILDASS, that's then HOURULDER. Yes, that's correct. Hilda's shoulder for you. The four is figure four, and the U is just the letter U, not a YOU, but a U. So Hilda's shoulder for you at gmail.com. Okay, till we'll chat again. It's bye for now.